on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. I didn't see the renaissance of the Western Bulldogs coming. I did see them lose to the Giants in the last round of season 2014, then watched in somewhat disbelief when the coach, captain, Brownlow medalist and CEO all departed before the 2015 season. When Tom Liberatore went down and the best and fairest ruled out for 12 months, the poor Dogs were dead in the water. Yesterday, the red, white and blue produced a brand of football that was exhilarating to watch. They played the game at breakneck speed. With so much dare, it was intoxicating. Young players like Stringer, Bontempelli, McRae, Ling Jong, Dalhouse, Talia, Johannesson and co. played with such a belief in urgency and togetherness that it's hard not to predict a golden era for the club. One puzzling question. Why wasn't Rob Murphy captain before this? For he is the spirit of the Dogs. I'm KB. That's my take.
Rockets aboard a Kobe Stevens. Run through the centre square. Big kicks on its way. Stringer looks dangerous. He's got it. Plays on and kicks a goal. Oh, the Bulldogs are hot at any hand. And here's Dalhouse again. Oh, gives it to Stringer. He can kick a goal. 40 metres out. Closes to 35. And rams it home.
Oh, it almost took the mark. Oh,
here's a chance. Cranery's going to kick it round his body. And there's another one for the Doggies.
Goes to the goal square. Stringer looks dangerous. There's a chance. Bontempelli grabs the ball. Crashes the pack and kicks a goal. Here's Stringer again out in front of Hardigan. Takes the ball on the first bounce. Wants to get around. He does. Runs to 50. Closes to 48. Don't tell me. You can't do that. He's done it. You can tweet that and hashtag it. Bloody good.
Probably have been accused of being a cockeyed optimist before, but, you know, you'd feel glimpses. We had a great summer. A lot of changes, obviously, but... Yeah, hoped, but it's been a good month.
9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433 98 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith, ticks and crosses from the weekend. What advice would you give your club? What was round four's biggest highlight and biggest lowlights, and who was the player of the round? Patrick's famous goose and goose. Mark Allen, of course, with all the golf. Jeff Harris with Formula One action. Nick Bowen joins us from AFL.com.au with all the injury reports from round four, potential match review panel charges as well. Also, the world of tennis with Brett Phillips, and then Weekend Siren with Plough and Gazelle, Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. But coming up, your calls along with Patrick Smith.
Bottom line is they've got to improve his kicking if they're going to realise his talent. Football in Queensland really on the nose. Brisbane are struggling and we're discussing Gold Coast problems now. They need another injection of hype. Some advice. Give it up. It's boring. You've been banging away on it for 5 years. It's bordering on bullying. You've broken this story wide open, Kevin.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Did you see the Bulldogs coming?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Kevin. Yes,
you had them in your top eight?
Oh, yes, Kevin. I had them, after four rounds, I had them 6-1 game ahead of Hawthorn.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. So, no, we didn't see them coming to this extent, anything close to it. We thought that there'd be too many distractions in the off-season, a new coach, their best player going down. It's a wonderful result. I didn't see any of yesterday's game. I'm looking forward to watching the replay because I was doing my column. But obviously that they were scintillating.
Well, there was only about just under 20,000 fans went there yesterday. It was against Adelaide, of course, so probably not a big interstate crowd coming across on a Sunday. But for Bulldogs fans, you'd have to get on board now because this could be a golden era for the Western Bulldogs. They've got some of the most exciting players in the competition and they're playing a brand of football, which you've got to say, Luke Beveridge has done a mighty job in such a short period of time to have this group of players up and about and playing with such, you know, spirit. Yep. And the way that they're playing now, obviously, there's probably a bit of Hawthorn in it, the quick ball movement, getting around the players, helping each other. The skill level of the Western Bulldogs yesterday also was extraordinary. So in a short time, he's changed this club around.
Would appear so. And I mean, you know, their recruiting's been good. They've nailed their recruits. I think it's so good for the competition to have fresh blood percolating through the system. Yeah. I think that's brilliant. But it's a bit of a season, Kevin, of what the hell was that, really?
Yes.
What the hell was that?
Yeah. I don't think anybody saw, Fremantle holding Sydney to, 7 points or a quarter of football, whatever it was, and then coming back and nearly winning. I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams thought that Hawthorn could be exposed the way they were in the first quarter against Port. As I said, you've got Western Bulldogs a game ahead of Hawthorn. And football in Queensland has just fallen at the bottom, Kevin. They haven't won a game. They don't look like winning a game. And if you think of the money that's been poured in there, and at this stage we're getting absolutely nothing out of them. That's a worrying sign. But I think that the rest of the competition is brilliant, even if Geelong is not in decline, but just...
Well, they're in decline, Patrick.
They're not in decline. As I've said, Kevin, they won't be in decline until they fall out of the eight.
Okay.
And this rebirth doesn't... If this rebirth doesn't take, then they're in decline, surely. But because every team, you cannot be... stay at number one all the
time. They're 16th at the moment, Pat, so I think they're out of the eight at the moment. They're 16th
I said at the end of the season, Kevin.
Okay. Now,
what's
Gold
funny
Coast...
about that, Kevin?
Oh, no, that's all right. You just don't...
No, please explain
well,
what's funny
believe,
about
that. You don't believe they're in decline, that's all.
No, I'm prepared to say they're in decline if they're not in the eight at the end of the season.
Well,
teams have a natural cycle.
Yes, I didn't say they're no good or they may not fall into the top eight, but they're in decline because they're nowhere near the powerhouse club that they once were.
I don't think you can use that word in modern football. Yes, you can. Ignoramuses can.
Okay.
What were you saying?
The Gold Coast. Rodney Eade is not worried at the moment with the Gold Coast. I think they've been the biggest disappointment of the year
so
far.
Easily.
Before the start of the year, I mean, I had them in my top eight. I think most people thought they won, 10 games last year without Gary Ablett towards the end. They would have played finals. Rodney Eade has come in, a bit like Mick Malthouse when Carlton first brought Mick into Carlton. It was to just put the cream on the top and, play finals, win preliminary finals, maybe even win premierships. So Rodney Eade has come in. He's been given the go-ahead. Blue McKenna's been given the swisho to put the cream on top of the Gold Coast. This is going to be a big year. They look hopeless, Pat.
Yeah,
they look absolutely hopeless.
There is something fundamentally wrong with that club.
They used to play a bit like the Bulldogs, this run and gun and dare and all that sort of stuff. And they were quite exciting to watch as a club. At the moment, they're boring. Can't play.
They're worse than that. Mark McClure, I know, watched it and tore shreds off them. He was so disappointed with the way they played.
They lost by 11 goals, Pat.
Yep. But then again, you've got to say what the Giants are doing. At least the Giants are realising their potential. They're maturing. They're a very competitive side. But as an explanation to what's happening to the Suns...
Well, if anyone knows, give us a buzz, 9429 1116. Before we go to our callers, Pat, Alistair Clarkson, altercation with... a drunken Port Adelaide fan. How do you read this?
Oh, well, I think it was a nasty situation. I was over in Adelaide and wasn't long into that area where...
You went to the Port Adelaide game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Clarko had that incident. And you could feel uncomfortable in that area because, a lot of the people there had been drinking too much. But I don't think you can ever forgive a coach engaging in physical contact as he did. So I think the AFL's got to be very disappointed with the way Alistair Clarkson reacted to that. He probably only had to take another 5 steps and he was inside the pub. Would have been out of harm's way. I noticed that Mark Evans, the former general manager of Hawthorn, who is now general manager of the AFL, has looked at the incident and he's saying unless there's new evidence, the matter will rest. Not sure that that's the right answer. I think that he was provoked, but
yes,
certainly if he's full forward did something similar like that and gave away a free kick, or his fullback gave away a free kick and it resulted in a goal to the opposition. He would be furious with that lack of discipline.
But out in the public, Pat, you don't know the people that you're dealing with. People can get out of hand, and we know these days some, you know, awful things take place in terms of people being attacked. And now, obviously, it got to the point where this person was completely in his face. So I've only seen that bit of video. I don't think he actually punched him. Looks like he may have, it's hard to see exactly, may have hit him with the right hand, or pushed him with the right hand, maybe pushed him with the left hand. So at some stage when someone is actually screaming in your face, I think you've probably got some sort of right to push that person away, because you don't even know who this person is. Could be just a raving lunatic.
Yes.
And I mean, on a football field, there's rules on the football field, and we know that...
And there's rules in the street.
And there's rules in the street, and you know, there's an umpire and all that sort of stuff.
One of them is not make physical contact with somebody.
Yes, but I think there's times when, you know, if you're being harassed in a public place, that you've probably... I mean,
do you think that made matters better or worse, Kevin?
No, but...
It had the potential to make matters worse than better.
But at some stage, Pat, if you're being harassed to the point where you've got to actually send a message and push the person away and say, hey, listen, that's enough.
Kevin, Safe Harbour was about five steps away. He could have just trudged on and taken it.
He was close. I don't know how far he was from the door or going into the door. But, I mean, sometimes, you know, if you've been harassed for quite a period of time and you've tried to get away from that person or not take any notice, but then all of a sudden they get right in your face, obviously with cameras, to try and get a record it and be a hero.
Yeah, of course he wanted to get into the picture with Clarkson, and that bloke was taking...
So you think he should have just completely ignored it and just kept walking?
The fact that he didn't, I think he deserves... He didn't apologise at any stage yesterday, as far as I could work out. I think he needs to apologise and say, look, probably not appropriate. Could have held my nerve for a little bit longer, and I apologise for that. But he has explained that he was under extreme provocation. We've seen the video. It certainly helps his side of the story. I just think an apology wouldn't have hurt.
Give us your thoughts. 9429 1116. It's been a big weekend of sport and incidents, and also I'll talk a bit about Bashir Hooley when we come back after the break. We'll take your calls. 9429 1116. Your ticks and crosses from the weekend.
And so he puts it high up inside the 50. Oh, Hogan! He takes a great mark. He plucked it. Mitchie again. He puts it inside the 50. It's a wide ball. Hogan!
Hyatt.
He has played it. Jesse Hogan comes in from the right forward pocket on its way. The Young Guns kicked it. He's kicked the goal, Jesse Hogan. And they all go to him. Oh, this kid's got a future.
He certainly has, Matty G. Jesse Hogan, some of his highlights on Friday night, beating a very good player in Alex Rance. And if you can beat Alex Rance, you're good. And also, it stops the Tigers running. They were fantastic, Melbourne. I'd love to hear from Melbourne fans as well. Let's hit the lines. Travis joins us in Pakenham. G'day, Trav.
Oh, hi, Kev. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
I was just going to ring and I was just going to ask you, you mentioned at the top of the show the Bulldogs, talking about them, obviously, and you didn't think it was a particularly big crowd, and Pat mentioned he missed the game as well, because, funnily enough, he had better things to be doing in the early evening on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I was working.
Why do you reckon the crowd...
Travis, I was working, okay? Stupid remark. Apologise.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just...
Apologise.
I'm sorry, Pat. I'm just saying at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night, I think most people got other things they need to be doing, don't you think?
Well, I was just saying, Travis, what I was saying before was there was 19,000 fans there, and there'll be more Bulldogs fans going in the future, because I know it was on a Sunday and it was a 4:40 start, but the way that they played, all I was saying, Travis, was that there's going to be a lot more people and Bulldog supporters, and there's more than 20,000. And let's face it, not too many Adelaide people are going to come across on a Sunday. But I just made the point that it was fantastic to be there. And for Bulldogs fans in the future, don't miss watching your side play, because they are going to give you a great run this year. They've got so many great young players at the moment playing with so much confidence and enthusiasm. It's intoxicating. Everyone there yesterday, I'd like to hear from people who went along to that game yesterday. It was one of those games, Pat, where you left the ground with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That's what football's about. I love seeing players play the game. I said this after the game. You know, when as kids growing up, you want to mark the ball, you want to beat your opponent, you want to run and bounce it, you want to zigzag, you want to kick goals around the corner. All the things that make the game great were there yesterday.
Yeah, well, they certainly, from the start of the season, they seem to be enjoying themselves more, you know, in the sense of enjoying their football. And if you enjoy your footy, well, you're sort of opening the door to a fair bit of improvement, aren't you?
Absolutely. And if you allow people to, you know, show the talent that they've got, which obviously, I mean, they were very good defensively, but on the attack, they were breathtaking. Anthony's in Box Hill. G'day, Anthony.
Hey.
G'day. Thanks for joining us.
I would like to know your opinion on that rabble of a football club, Richmond, that we both support, mate.
Pretty dull at the moment, the Tigers. Not playing very well. You know, when you watch, say, the Bulldogs yesterday, the ability to move the ball, the Tigers look very, very slow in comparison. Beaten by a much better side in Melbourne. I actually said during the week, in fact on Friday, that I was very concerned about the game because I saw Melbourne play against Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, and they were very, very good. And under those conditions, you know, the Tigers just didn't match them. And I think the coach summed it up pretty well, just saying they were insipid.
Do you think it's a physical thing, Kevin? Game plan, talent, whatever, or is it an emotional thing at Richmond that sometimes they feel too comfortable?
Mm. Well, I think maybe they can feel too comfortable, Pat. And I know that they've played finals over the last 2 years, albeit they've lost those two finals games. But I think the players have got to realise there's a big gap from, you know, losing, you know, the first week of the finals to finishing top four and winning premierships.
Yeah.
There's a long, long way to go. It's been a struggle for Richmond to go from outside the eight into the eight. But that struggle is tougher, Pat, if you want to win the premiership.
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming up against the creme de la creme, and you're up against the big boys. And they're ready to flex their muscles, and you're playing against sides of real talent. And if the Richmond players think that, you know, because they played finals the last 2 years, it's a walk in the park and it's a matter of turning up and, you know, we're a good side.
Oh, and you're playing Melbourne, which is just ravenous for success. It's been...
Well, there's a lot of sides out there that want success, and there's a lot of sides that have had success that are clinging on to that success, and they're going to fight hard. No one's going to give you an easy passage. And, you know, the Tigers, the player, as a playing group, have got to work a lot harder than what they've shown this year. I mean, the draw was a beautiful draw for the Tigers. First four games of the season, very winnable on paper before the start of the year. You had Carlton to kickstart, you had the Western Bulldogs, you had Brisbane, and then on the weekend, you expected to beat Melbourne. So that's 4-0 for the Tigers.
Sure.
Sets up the season. 2-2, it's tough. David's in Ballarat. G'day, David. G'day, Dave.
Hello.
G'day, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, okay. Now, look, three ticks. One to Melbourne, great four-quarter performance. Second one to the Melbourne victory for winning a plate, although they've still got the job in front of them.
Yes, well done.
And well done to Mick Malthouse for breaking the record last weekend.
Well, he did break the record last weekend, but the AFL will continue to live that historical lie. But this week, as far as the AFL is concerned, big game coming up with Collingwood versus Carlton when Mick, according to the AFL, officially breaks the record, and Carlton getting their first win as well in New Zealand.
Are we doing anything special, Kevin, the AFL, are we?
I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. I expect...
Well, just, if you want
I
to
expect
have a,
so.
If you want to commit a historical lie, you probably want to emboss the occasion, wouldn't you, with some grand marches down the centre of Melbourne.
I'm not quite certain what's happening. Look, we should get on to maybe Carlton, Stephen Trigg, and see which way what they're doing in terms of celebrating Mick coaching their club and in this historic game.
There'd be minimal, wouldn't it, from Carlton?
No, but he's their coach.
Yes.
He's their coach.
Well, it's difficult to laud the coach on breaking the record when you've already just put a line through his name for next year. You've got to admit that. Well done, Mick. We're not re-employing you.
There's no cash here. Here, there's no cash.
David, thanks for that. Lucas is in East Malvern. G'day, Lucas. Who was that?
G'day, KB.
Good, Lucas.
Look, I just want to talk about what happened with Clarko on the weekend.
Yes.
I mean, look, it's tough as an AFL coach. You have to go through a lot of crap and, you know, absolute lot of rubbish with blokes all the time on the sidelines and all the rest. And probably should have been a little bit more professional. But, geez, if you've got this idiot in your face, like you were saying, after a big loss, this guy guys heckling you. He's got a camera there. He's obviously being an absolute show-off and in front of his mates. I mean, what else are you going to do? I would have hit him probably myself, honestly, and I'm not a coach. But, you know, we don't condone it, but I don't blame him either, really.
Well, I must say this, Pat. It's going about 80-20 against your thoughts with Alistair Clarkson. I'll give you a snapshot. Completely agree with Patrick, especially given the recent emphasis on awareness of king hits and being the bigger man and walking away from a violent situation. Others are saying Clarko needs to apologise to a thug. You're kidding. He had every right, as we all do legally, to defend himself against an attack, actual or threatened. That is not normal behaviour, screaming in someone's face. Hopefully the port guy comes out and apologises as well. It shouldn't be just one way. Oh, yes, let's blame Clarkson. It's tall poppy syndrome. Idiot one who verbally attacks him gets charged for inciting violence. So about 80-20 against you, Pat.
Chris Yaron is missing how many games, Kevin?
Three games, Pat.
For retaliation.
Well, he was provoked, wasn't he? Well,
that's what he claimed.
He said he was provoked, although I don't think...
I think footage shows that he was provoked.
And he got three matches for it because we don't condone
retaliation, Kevin, except if it's a Hawthorn coach. Is that right?
Well, I'm just
telling you... Is that the rule?
I'm just telling you it's running 80-20 at the moment. Ban the idiot who is getting stuck into Clarko for life. No place for those people in our game. Sometimes you have to make a stand, Patrick. What would you have done being the fiery fast bowler that you were?
Well, hopefully I would have just got into that pub as quick as I could, Kevin. I wouldn't have lingered. But to me, what we're saying is, look, of course the idiot needs to be disciplined. And if Port Adelaide can find out who it was, they will discipline him. But you can't, you know, preach one lesson and then provoke. What Clarko did could have provoked an incident, Kevin, a much bigger incident.
Well, no doubt, I mean, there was a mistake, and that was to walk back to the hotel. And I think yesterday Alistair Clarkson even admitted that, you know, in the future that won't be the case. But, you know, you would have thought that maybe... I know they've done it before, and obviously they've been pretty lucky before, but you would have thought that, you know, people wiser heads would have said, you know, on those other occasions, look, this may not be the smartest thing to do, you know, walking back from the ground to the hotel after a game.
I think
you're well known.
No, absolutely, Kevin. The worst thing was that he was put in that position because he didn't have a security walking either side of him, or that he didn't come up in the bus from the Oval with the players. But he should never have been in that position because somebody at some stage was going to get harassed by the absolute drunken nongs that gather around after games. So I think that's a very serious lesson that Clarkson, while I think he ought to apologise to the public, not to the bloke he hit, to the public, I do think that he is being let down by the system there.
A break, 9429 11:16. We'll come back, we'll fly through your calls.
Coming out is Jesse White, that was his target. Picked up this time by Elliott, keeps it alive, goes straight to the square. What a kick! What a goal! First blood to the Magpies, straight through the heart of the Bombers. Here's Chris, who runs the 50, the kick's on its way. It's a big kick, it's going, it's going, it's gone!
Seisman picks up the loose ball. Here go the Magpies, faking goal square. Seisman goes for it, all about the bounce. It's rolling, it's there!
Gives it back to Dwyer with a quick snap! He has kicked a great goal! Tweet that, hashtag bloody good!
Very good on the weekend. They've surprised a lot of people, including myself, Pat. I thought that maybe they're going to struggle for the next couple of years.
Decline, I think, was the word you used.
I don't think I used decline with Collingwood.
Kevin, can I just do some housekeeping?
Yes, you can.
Last week, I called Daryl Harford David.
Daniel Harford?
Daryl Harford David. I just need to apologise to Daryl for that.
Daniel.
I don't know Daniel, no. So, Daryl, very sorry.
Okay. Back to our callers, 9429 11:16. Dom is in Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Good morning, KB and Pat. I'm a very happy North supporter, but I'd actually rather keep quiet about that this week because we play Hawthorn on Saturday night on a rebound. So I don't want to boast about North. I'm just ringing to give you a theory on what's happened at the Gold Coast.
Yes, now I'd be interested in that. I want to know what's happened to the Gold Coast.
Okay, well, look, that old, outdated leading teams approach that Jason Ackermanis still says to this day he was subjected to at the Bulldogs under Rodney Eade We know it doesn't work with young, fragile players. And the Gold Coast, let's be honest, under Guy McKenna, they would have been mollycoddled in their first few years. Nick Nowaczewski, I remember hearing him when he first got recruited to the Gold Coast. I think it was on SEN in the pre-season interview, boasting about how he... how he nailed a couple of his younger teammates because he saw a few things on the training track that he didn't like because they're so young and introverted and shy and not too talkative on the track. Yeah. And he really abused them, and he boasted about how he abused them and nailed them. And then obviously Ronnie Eads come in with a sledgehammer. I mean, that's his approach, and it's old school, but it doesn't work for these kids. And, I mean, Nowaczewski at the Swans, there's a great game plan, and it was centred around give Nowaczewski, our loose defender, the ball. He never played in the man. He was always the loose defender. Give him the ball and let's use his beautiful left foot. But when I'm watching Gold Coast games, I don't see that chemistry. You don't see players lining up to give him the ball. There's clearly friction out there on the field. I see a lot of finger-pointing, bullying, abusing teammates, bagging teammates, which you used to get in suburban footy, but how it still happens in AFL footy, I'll never understand. And those players, the only one that I see play with dash and dare is Adam Saad, a rookie, but he's a mature-age rookie who comes from Coburg, being coached by a hard-ass himself in Peter German. And these young kids are just brittle and fragile. And
I've got to say, Dom, we don't hear that Rodney Ead's gone in there with a sledgehammer. He's certainly attempting to change the culture, but all the reports coming out of that club are not that he's going in there and throwing his weight around and demanding this and confronting people. He is trying to change it, but far more subtly than sort of the sledgehammer suggests. Mm. But if it is a culture thing, it takes time. It's a long process.
Was the culture that bad that they were playing attractive football and winning games?
Yep.
I know they had Gary Ablett, but was the culture that bad that you find yourself 0-4 and losing to the Giants by 11 goals?
Good question. I
Is
don't
it that
know.
That bad?
Yeah, I don't know. None of us know really what's happened.
I'd like to hear from Cat fans too. What did you think of Chris Scott's decision to play Stevie J off the bench? I was flabbergasted because he's such a great player, and I know they've had some injuries as well. I'm not quite certain whether his form's been as bad as what everyone says it has, but even if it has been, surely he's got enough brownie points and played enough great games for the Cats to, play and be in their starting lineup. Stevie J, he's come on, he's kicked a couple of goals, he had about 9 or 10 possessions. He's not a bad player, Pat. It's interesting in recent years, though, he's polled so well in the Brownlow medal. I know he's been suspended over the last couple of years, but I tell you what, as far as Brownlow medal votes go, he's been very close to being up in the top 1 or 2. But but in their best and fairest, he finishes like 12th or 13th or can't finish top 10. So for some reason, Stevie J hasn't endeared himself to those down at the Geelong hierarchy. And maybe that's part of why he's wearing the green vest.
Yeah, well, we're really just guessing, aren't we? We don't know the motivation behind it. Was he carrying an injury? Had he been playing that well, Kevin?
Well, I'm saying, Pat, even if he's been below his best, surely he's played at such a level for such a long time that you would support him. I'd like to hear from Cat fans anyway, 9429 1116. James is in Ivanhoe. G'day, James.
Yeah, g'day, Kevin. I'm just wondering, I'm not sure if you watched the Freo Sydney game on the weekend, but...
I saw some of it, yep.
How can we still be getting these umpiring decisions wrong in terms of the goal review? I mean, we had two goals disallowed. One of them apparently came off the post. Every Tom, Dick and Harry could see it came off Johnson's leg. They disallowed that goal. They disallowed Craig Bird's goal. The umpire said that it was a goal. Then another umpire came in and said that it was touch. I mean, how can we still be getting this wrong? And that, Fred Bird's win the game, we're 50 points down, but still, I think two decisions could have gone our way and potentially we could have won the game out of that. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the match?
I haven't seen those particular incidents. I've seen some of that game, but can't recall seeing those incidents that... you're concerned about in terms of the goal review. But again, you've got the goal umpire gives his decision. If they're upset about it, they'll go upstairs and they'll review it. And if they can see a change, they will. If not, they'll go with the call of the goal umpire.
You can't possibly get it wrong, though, can you? A video review, you can't get it wrong.
Well, no, because if you can't decide there's anything on the video review, you go with the goal umpire's call. If there's something on the video review, then obviously you go that way.
Yeah, but if
But I mean, James is James is saying that it was,
and a lot of people have mentioned James' concerns. I mean, it's not as though James went off on this.
I'd have to see the review. So, James, you're saying what it hit the post or wasn't a? Why wasn't it a goal?
No, it came off. It came off Johnson's leg, and then they went to the.
This is Michael Johnson, is it?
Yeah, Michael Johnson. Yeah, and they went up to the video, and then they said that it was a behind because they thought it came off the post. But everyone could see that it came off the like that his off his leg. That's why I just don't understand how they can. And then with the other one, with the Craig Bird one, it sort of bounced, the ball bounced under his hands, and then the goal umpire said it was a goal, and then the boundary umpire came in and said, no, I thought it was touch. And then like, and then they used the boundary umpire's what he saw instead of the goal umpire. It's just so confusing. Like, it's not, like, I'm not bitter that we lost. It's just really confusing.
Well, the goal umpire will still have the call. I mean, they will have a conversation. Then the goal umpire will come to a decision, and then he'll give his call on what's been told to him, if in fact he's unsure himself, or you know, to even back up what he's thinking.
Big call from the boundary umpire.
Pat, Goose and Goose is coming up after the break, but Bashir Hooley, he was allegedly racially vilified by a prominent media figure at the MCG, comments heard by a senior Richmond staff member.
Yes, I think this is a very serious matter, Kevin. It's been reported. Obviously, Brendan Gale will now report that to the AFL, and the AFL will take that matter from there. But if somebody's been racially abused or religiously abused, then I think that they deserve the full whack of the AFL's powers. Now, it might be resolved by a apology. Let's hope it is. If it isn't, then this is a very serious incident. Because the person's a member of the media, he's probably doubly guilty because, for heaven's sake, we're sitting judgment on everyone. And if we're to do those things, then we ought to get double hit.
Allegation is correct, will we know the name?
Some of these circumstances we do, Kevin. I think we should. I've always said that, but it's... we won't necessarily find out the name if these offended parties can sort it out. Then we may not necessarily hear the name.
So they have mediation.
But we should know who's making those comments.
We'll take a break. We're coming back with Pat's famous Goose and Goose and more of your calls.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week on 11:16 SEN.
It's 9 minutes to 10 in Patrick's famous Goose and Goose of the Week. You're getting plenty of nominations here, Pat, for your thoughts regarding Alistair Clarkson, but you're ineligible.
Why am I getting?
Oh, well, they're just calling you. You should be Goose of the Week.
You do that, Kevin. Whenever you think you've had a bad morning, you just nominate me, don't you? So you make up a text. Oh, look, here's another text. Patrick says you're a complete raving lunatic.
Well, that's what they're saying, Pat. That's what they're saying.
Oh, I think you make them up. I think they're all saying I'm a genius, and you just make up those bad ones. Now, the Goose is the media personality, Kevin, who
vilified?
Will be reported, as I understand it, will be reported to the AFL.
But it's only an allegation at the moment. How can you give the Goose to someone when it's an allegation?
It's not easy.
Well,
if you put your mind to it, you can do it.
Yes, but this person may be exonerated.
Well, I'll apologise.
Okay.
But I don't.
So
know
you'll
who,
apologise.
But I won't know who to apologise to. So I'm not naming anyone, Kevin. I'm just saying the media personality, who has been reported or will be reported for using the word terrorist, describing Bashir Hooley, is Goose of the Week.
Okay. And if nothing comes out of this and there's no person hauled over the coals, you'll apologise.
Well, those listeners might be right with their text.
Kevin. Okay.
And the Goose.
The Goose?
The Goose. Oh, Melbourne victory, Kevin. 3-1 over the Mariners. Get the Premier's plate.
Okay, the Premier's plate.
Just really good effort. Sound season. Good
Kevin on. Muscat?
Yep.
Okay, so well done to Kevin Muskett and the boys from Melbourne Victory and Ian Robson, who will join us later in the week, of course, and they'll be pretty chuffed, but, of course, that's just the first
stage. Do you think
Robbo
will claim the plate himself?
I'm hoping he's going
Did
to bring
the... Did he play left back or not?
I'm hoping he's going to bring the plate in.
Oh, right, okay.
On Wednesday.
I reckon he would have played a ripper of a game.
Barry's in Kilmore. G'day, Baz.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good, thanks, Barry.
I'm really disturbed about this Alistair Clarkson thing too, but I'm not disturbed from the point of view that everyone's running off and saying, oh, he could have killed him and all this sort of garbage, which Channel 7 run. I just feel that when you invade someone's space and you invade it for 70 or 80 metres and then you're yelling in their ear and dribbling over their shoulder, surely you have a right to push someone away. Now, whether it be right or wrong or it's the wrong look or whatever, I feel Alistair Clarkson did what he had to do. Under the circumstances, whether he was five steps away from the door or not, if you had that going on for 70 or 80 metres, I defy anyone to wear that sort of crap. And as far as I'm concerned, the yobbo...
Do we know that's the case now?
Yeah, we do know that's the case, Patrick, because Chris Fagan said that was the case.
Okay.
And that's good enough for me.
And apparently the 10-minute walk took 40 minutes walk. The 10-minute walk from the Oval to the hotel... took 40 minutes. Did you hear that on the news, Kevin?
No. What?
They got lost, obviously.
Who suggested it was a 40-minute walk?
Well, that's what the news read recently. The news just gone said it took in the 40 minutes that it took to get there.
Well, look,
so they've gone around the Oval eight times, clearly, Kevin.
Well,
maybe they were just dizzy in the end.
It wouldn't take 40 minutes to walk because I've had that walk myself.
Yep.
But maybe. They were thinking about and talking about the game, and they were
what
just
I'm saying, Kevin,
going for a walk and then finally walked their way back to the,
and
to
what
the
I'm
hotel.
What I'm saying to Barry is, yes, there was provocation. The Clarkson took the wrong approach. He should have still just battled on and got to the into the hotel. Nothing good was going to come of him pushing that person away. Yes, he was provoked, absolutely provoked. But he needed just to hold firm for another 5 metres or whatever it was, five steps to get into the hotel.
But maybe he may have felt more threatened with those five steps to go, Patrick. I mean, if someone is absolutely harassing you and yelling in your face,
I don't think
at some stage
footage,
you've got to say, can I have some space?
I don't think the footage shows harassment of that level, and if he needed space. Space was inside the hotel.
Yes.
And that's
but
what
he was trying to get into the hotel.
Yes.
But maybe the harassment became so much that in the end, with someone yelling and screaming at you in your face...
I don't make excuses for people, Kevin.
No, but I'm saying, Pat...
That you're making excuses for a person who lost his temper.
Well, Pat, look, he didn't King hit the person.
Do you think it could have provoked something more? If you were really in fear of your life,
because
of these people here, do you think the right response to being in fear of your life is to provoke that person?
Well, he pushed the person.
It's up to
the person to think whether he's been provoked, Patrick.
No, it's not, Kevin.
If you're walking down the street, Patrick, and people come up and provoke you, you'll say, listen, that's enough, I'm walking away. But there may come a point, Patrick, where they're so close that they're threatening. And in this day, how do you know the bloke hasn't got a knife or something like that, Pat? We hear this all the time.
Well, there's now, according to the news reports, he had 40 minutes to present the knife, and Barry said he was dribbling down his neck. So, Kevin, we seem to have a lot of insight into this incident all of a sudden, and no one's mentioned the knife yet.
No, I'm saying, Pat, I mean, you can feel threatened in this day and age. And after a while...
You're making excuses,
that
Kevin,
threat
for a person...
That becomes too great.
For a person who should have held his nerve and got into the hotel.
Let's say, Pat, he was still 50 metres away from the hotel. Oh, look, I've got to take a break. I'll come back. I'm getting into trouble. Just want to clarify one thing... coming through off the SMS is saying 40 metres, not 40 minutes. I'm pretty sure that was a mistake by the newsreader. Check with the newsreader during the break. That's not a mistake. 40 minutes is correct from the ground to the hotel. Pat, we'll have to continue this
Will
again
do, Kevin.
Tomorrow.
Will do.
Okay. You've polarised the community. You know that.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Pat.
You haven't helped.
We'll speak tomorrow.
Cheers.